This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. As you drive around San Antonio this afternoon, take a look around. How many people are all by their lonesome in their cars? One person, one vehicle. As more cars and trucks crowd our highways, this might be a luxury that we can no longer afford. Other cities have found ways to encourage carpooling, but could that work here? What are the available incentives to motivate carpooling? We're going to go to HOV lanes or some just have to wait for those massive daily traffic jams to drive people to carpool. What about improving mass transit? Tell us what you think about carpooling. Do you have some carpool experiences to share? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. A carpool karaoke experience to share. 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. You can tweet us at tprsource. Our guests this afternoon, we're joined by Ana Sandoval, San Antonio City Council Representative for District 7. Also with us is Kevin Wolf, Bexar County Commissioner, Board Chair of the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. And Richard Pettis is with us. He's the President and CEO of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce. It's great to have you here in the studio this afternoon.
Good to be here.
So the first question is, like, did y'all carpool to get here since y'all all kind of came from downtown? Or how did that go down, Kevin Wolf?
Obviously, for the basis of this show, we'd like to say yes, but must be honest, no.
But it wasn't one person carpool. Per car, right?
It was not. It was at least two people per car.
Okay, you had staff folks with you helping you along the way. We have some calls on our voicemail line that we picked up over the weekend, and this is David.
My name is David, and I think the carpooling might not be too bad an alternative for San Antonio, but we're probably going to need some HOV lanes or something like that to make it more appealing to people. Where I used to work, there was a lot of cases where some of us needed to stay late, and so unless somebody has really regular hours, it's sometimes kind of difficult to carpool. But I imagine part of the reason for doing this, obviously, is to reduce traffic. And I'm always hearing about ozone non-attainment.
All right. So Bexar County Commissioner Kevin Wolf, you're on the MPO. So if there are HOV lanes in our future, you would know about that. Can you talk about it?
Absolutely. And that was an excellent question that he called in with. We do have our first planned HOV lanes, both on IH-10 and 281. And we did this, the MPO did this in conjunction with VIA, our mass transportation entity here. And VIA is already building two new park and rides north of 1604 on both 281 and I-10. And I just drove by the one on 281 this past weekend. You can see that the structure is already up. So to the point, yes, HOV lanes are intended to cut down on the amount of traffic that we have, but I can also tell you for planning purposes, it's not going to be nearly enough to waylay the congestion that exists on those two highways.
So when you say on I-10 and 281, you're talking about outside of 1604?
Outside of 1604.
Only vehicles that would be allowed in that lane would be what?
Today, the plan is obviously carpool vehicles.
Is that two people? Because sometimes it's three in other parts of the country.
Right now, it's set at two. What we'll have to see is how, and that's what's nice about these, we're calling them not just HOV lanes, but managed lanes. So we can change the HOV numbers in regards to how many count as an actual carpool. I will tell you today that we are going with two people at least per vehicle. Of course, all mass transportation vehicles will be able to drive on it, as well as military vehicles.
Ana Sandoval at District 7, what are your thoughts about HOV lanes?
I think they're a great first step, and I think the caller is right that we are going to need something that will incentivize people to carpool. An HOV lane is one of them. That is still a little bit far in the future, a few years before that's operational, but I want to remind people that there are a number of employees who do have regular schedules. The caller's right, sometimes people have to stay late, but we have a number of employees throughout the region that have regular working hours, and carpooling and HOV lanes could work for them. And sometimes people say, well, I might need my car in the middle of the day, so I don't want to carpool in case I have to go pick up my child. There are possibilities to make arrangements for that. If we have, we've seen this happen in other areas where you have a guaranteed ride home program if you decide to carpool in.
So who gives the ride home then?
It could be the employer. If the employer is part of this program, it could be a voucher that you use and take a cab or take
a ride hailer.
Exactly. Or sometimes we've seen employers have a fleet will allow their employee to use a fleet vehicle.
Richard Pettis at the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, President and CEO. How important is this to the chamber?
It's very important. You know, we just dodged a bullet with non-attainment, so we've got a reprieve till about April, depending on this new analysis. So we have been working with the business community for months now in a conjunction with the city and the county. We surveyed our members to find out how many of them were providing commuter benefits, and surprisingly, some of our largest members provide a benefit to their employee to commute, whether that's a monetary benefit or the ability to come in earlier or later. The benefits vary, but it is all about bringing people into the whole carpooling experience.
So I'm going to press you a little bit for details on those benefits, because that's really, you know, motivating folks is what this is all about. I mean, how much of a monetary benefit or how late can I come into work if I take advantage of these types of things?
Well, we didn't press our business members to give us those kinds of details. Again, basically what they told us is what I've laid out, and that is in generalities. And, you know, when you're asking, people will only tell you what they want to tell you.
Sure.
We didn't want to press and turn off the spigot. But 57 employers provide, these are large employers that have 500 employees or more. And so that's exciting to know that that's happening. And so the idea then is to now go back and get those best practices and then maybe turn around and have our medium and smaller type of businesses consider these kinds of things.
Okay, and let's go ahead and go to our other question on our voicemail line.
Hello, this is Bennett. In, I think it was 1999, when they were pushing the light rail system, I and others proposed carpooling as a cheaper and more convenient way to transport people back and forth from work. But the developers wanted the light rail, and of course that lost. The alternative would be, which we're getting into, is bus lanes and HOV lanes, which will serve populations rather than serve bureaucrats' ideas of where populations travel to and from. I think both have to be considered.
Okay, and so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a reaction to that comment online when we come back from this break. And our phone lines are open right now. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Are you ready to become a carpooler? It's a question that many of us may have to confront as San Antonio's highways become more and more congested. If we can get more people to buddy up when they go to and from work, that could take a lot of pressure off our highway system. But, you know, how can we get there? If we establish these habits, it could be very beneficial to the community. But changing habits is a tough thing to do. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Before we went to break, we heard from our voicemail line, and Bennett had called in, talked about looking at light rail in conjunction with other things like carpooling and HOV lanes. So that brings up light rail. Let's find out where we are on that. And we're joined by Ana Sandoval, City of San Antonio representative for District 7. And can you kind of give us your take, and then we'll hear from Kevin Wolf and also from Richard Pettis.
Sure. So let's look at the whole situation here. What we have is a growing city. We're expecting a million, or community, we're expecting a million more people, and we simply do not have the funds in line to build the infrastructure needed to move that many more cars here. Whether it's, you know, a million more cars or half a million more cars, there's just no resources for it. And we'd have to pave over basically the whole city if we wanted to accommodate that. So what are our alternatives for that? One is we do continue to build some infrastructure, but we also look at alternatives so that not everyone has to move around in a vehicle. Right now, 4 out of every 5 workers in San Antonio drives to work alone. That means there is a lot of low-hanging fruit for us to basically carpool And the what I've been proposing hand in hand with Councilman Saldana is that we've spent a lot of money and we spent a lot of resources trying to figure out how to move cars as quickly, as efficiently as possible. But let's think about moving people, because we don't need a vehicle for every person, and our tax dollars can go a lot further if we use other resources. Now, you bring up light rail. That is definitely one tool that we should consider, or full-blown BRT, bus rapid transit. You know, I worked at VIA in 2003, and it was shortly after the light rail referendum had gone down, and I think no one was considering light rail at that time, but it's been, you know, it's been over 10 years, and it's really time to look at, you know, if we are going to be a nationally competitive city, we have to have a strong transportation program as well. That is something that people look to in a strong city.
And Bexar County Commissioner Kevin Wolf.
You know, Anna's absolutely right. Really, what we have to do, especially at the MPO level, is we are the planners, and what we need to be doing is planning for that future. She mentioned it here in 2040, we're looking at another million citizens in this area, and how are we going to handle that? When we obviously know we haven't been able to handle the traffic we have today, that means we have to look at what does it mean to move people, not just vehicles, but people. And that's really the metric that we need to start looking at, whether we're moving them by individual vehicles, whether we're moving them by busing, whether we're moving them by trains, whether we're moving them by any other means. Those are the metrics we need to look at and plan for. So being able to look at whether it's light rail or passenger rail or some other type of rail, I think she mentioned it best. That's a tool in the toolbox, but our job, I believe, is to look at all of those tools and how we can mesh them together to move the most number of people.
Richard Perez, President and CEO of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, where are you on a light rail?
I think it's time for us to look at it again, as my colleagues have talked here. You know, as the seventh largest city in the nation, that is growing and that will continue to grow. It only makes sense for us to be bold and be smart about the fact that we can't have everybody in cars. That's just not going to work. Now, commuter, the whole rideshare, all those things work, but I think we need to have another solution as well, another tool, and that would be some sort of light rail, heavy rail, commuter rail. I mean, they have many different names. But it's high time that we look at it again seriously, but I think comprehensively, so that we can bring the entire community into the discussion so that it makes sense. And we have a plan for today and one 15 or 20 years out, and what it's going to look like as we build it out.
Okay. Now, the caller, this is Melissa. The number is 210-614-8980. If you want to join our conversation as we're talking about carpooling and helping people join a buddy up when they go to and from work. Here's Melissa. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. I was just going to say that I commuted to Austin from San Antonio for 3 years, and I used the rideshare program through VIA with Enterprise, and we took a van. We met at any of the park and rides on the northeast part of town, and we commuted. You know, we shared the expense of the van, and we commuted. And I noticed in Austin that many people from differing areas of town also rented vans and shared the cost and the driving, and it, you know, worked pretty well for us. You know, there was hardly really any time where I needed to break away during the day. It just never really happened during those 3 years. So to me, that's not like a valid excuse for why you don't carpool. On the flip side of that, I also noticed that their light rail system in Austin was extremely, I guess, prone to breakdown. And I think it was very expensive, my understanding with the city of Austin, that it was pretty expensive to maintain. But people do use it there in Austin, but there's, you know, you have to get that mentality of people not riding by themselves.
Right, Melissa, thank you so much for the call. So going to and from Austin, that, you know, yeah, I mean, of course, if you have people who are doing that, then you can buddy up. And so is this something that also you're looking at, Anna Sandoval?
I think with the work group that's being formed, and so let me just take a step back.
Yeah.
Based on this proposal that the Councilman Saldana and I put forward, what we had proposed is we look at some kind of program where the city works with private employees and other partners to think about how to get people out of their vehicles and get more people ride sharing. We think it's going to take input from the private sector so that they can tell us what works for their employees, and of course, input from the public sector in terms of what resources are available or what we can do to accommodate that. So based on that recommendation, a working group will be formed. Some of the members on it are going to be the chamber as well as VIA, several large employers, school districts as well. And they will come up with some recommendations in the next few months. I definitely think that the commute between San Antonio and Austin is one that we have to consider as part of this work group. I myself did look at a job in Austin a couple of years ago, decided against it because of the commute. But honestly, I think it would have been a great career opportunity for me, but I didn't take it. We don't want that to be the case for other employees, right?
Right. We have the Megabus. People do that all the time to get to and from San Antonio to Austin and be able to use that. But, you know, as a consumer and a commuter myself, you know, I'm thinking, oh, should I take the bus today? And I'm thinking, well, I need to figure out how am I going to, you know, where's all my, I got to find some money to pay for the bus. And I already have a sunk cost. I already have my vehicle I already paid for. Or I'm paying, making payments. They're not going to change my car payment, whether or not I took it to work today or not. Also, the insurance, also the same thing. These are costs that are not going to change whether or not my car is in the driveway or if I'm taking it to work. And then I have to weigh all the other inconveniences that are involved of doing these things. And so this is a heavy lift to convince people to change their habits and become commuters. And I mean, what are the incentives for them to do it? Okay, Anna, you want to answer this one?
I do. And for the callers, for the listeners, I did raise my hand in the studio so that I could be called on.
All right.
So you're absolutely right. This might not work for everybody, especially if you've just bought a car. But if you're thinking about buying a second car, this is where the incentive comes in. Also, if you work someplace where parking is difficult or you have to pay a monthly fee for parking or your employer pays that, that's a built-in incentive to get you to consider another way. If you're paying $100 a month or $150 a month for parking and you can have that money in your pocket or spend it on your family or going out to eat, I think that's an absolute incentive for people who are working right now.
So what about like places like UTSA or San Antonio College where you have students? I mean, is there a way to incentivize them that if they carpool, they get 5 extra points on their final exam? Or maybe a free...
I could have used that myself.
Or a parking spot or something like that. I mean, is that something that's being looked at? I don't know. Anyone have any clue about that?
You know, I haven't heard that. I'd be more than happy if UTSA and San Antonio College system would look at incentives like that. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to say is whether we like it or not, we are what I'll call a convenience society. And so the more we can make some sort of action convenient to ourselves, the more likely we are to take it. You know, you talked about people that have vehicles today and they're making payments, and that's a sunk cost, like you said, and people want to get the value out of that sunk cost. And that's where it sort of comes full circle to something we've talked about on a show with you before, and that's, you know, there's two ways to motivate people. There's the carrot and the stick.
Right.
And the stick for us is congestion and getting so sick and tired of it that we try to figure out different ways to handle it.
Well, we know that consumers make decisions based on two things, price and availability.
That's right.
So if you raise the price to drive a vehicle or you make the availability more difficult, which would be through traffic congestion, people would seek alternatives where price and availability becomes more interesting to them, and that would be carpooling or mass transit or other things. And so I'd love to hear what Richard has to say about that.
Well, I think it all makes sense. You know, there was an article in today's paper in the sports section that talks about why racing, interesting enough, is a dying sport. And it's a dying sport because young people today are not driving. You know, when I was in high school, I actually took a class during high school to learn how to drive. And the point of the article was that kids nowadays driving is not at the top of their agenda. They want to do other things, and they're looking for urban environments or environments that allow them to get from where they're at to someplace else in a vehicle that doesn't necessarily need to belong to them. It could be public transit. So I think the writing is on the wall. I think we need to, as leaders in this community, figure out what are those solutions. I think it makes a ton of sense. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it, and it's not an inexpensive proposition. So we need to come together as a community through the committees that the public sector is forming at the city and the county and really hash this thing out and figure out what our way forward is.
But so there are a lot of technological developments, and one of them is, you know, being able to connect people online through apps. And I know that there are things like that that are available. And are people using those things, Ana Sandoval? To find, I want to get to my job. I don't want to drive. I have an app here. Maybe it can screen me and connect me to somebody.
I'm using those tools right now. So when it came to catching the bus this morning, I was able to find the optimal route, and Google Maps gave it to me. So all you have to do is switch from drive mode to transit mode, and it'll do that. As far as other apps and programs, we do know that ACOG has something called a New Ride program. That's the actual online program that they use that does connect people to other folks who have the same commute. And they've had, let me see, I have here, they've been operating for about...
Yeah, we're going to have ACOG on in just a minute. They're going to join us right after the break to talk about this and other developments. But, you know, it's worth talking about best practices on how to set up a carpool.
So let me interject here. Okay. So ACOG's program is at large, and they'll tell you more details about it. But what we find is that people are much more likely to carpool with someone from their own community that somehow they already know and they have a connection to. This is why it's so important to work with employers on a one-by-one basis. If you and I both work at TPR, I'm more likely to trust you and get in a car with you than I am someone who may work, you know, maybe just half a block away, but you have no idea what their work culture is like, right? But there's a safety and a comfort factor that you have carpooling with someone either from your own building or from your own business. And that is where I think this work with the chamber and the employers is going to be really critical.
Right, but also we don't want to confine ourselves to that. Some people can open themselves up to, because, I mean, we get in cars with strangers all the time if you take an Uber or Lyft, you know. So if we can figure out a way to bridge those gaps using pre-screening and other availability, other technologies to create more options and flexibility, then, I mean, it's going to be a battle of inches, trying to get little by little and trying to increase the percentage little by little to get more and more people to become carpoolers. And before you know it, you got a trend and it becomes like no big deal, right? Okay. All right. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. We're going to hear from ACOG and we're going to hear from you. We got some callers online. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about carpooling, how to get more people per vehicle on the highway, because if it's going to be one per person, it's getting crowded out there. Roger Arriaga is with us. He's with ACOG, and he wants to talk about their solution. Roger, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thanks for inviting us to be here.
Talk about,
I'd like to mention just a little bit about what the Alamo Area Council of Governments does in regards to air quality and commuting. We do have programs regarding in air quality that look at, we monitor, of course, our regional air. And in complement to that, we also operate our Commute Solutions Program. The Commute Solutions Program serves, it's a 20-year-old program that serves communities, schools, and employers by increasing awareness and access to transportation alternatives. Our goal is ultimately to reduce traffic congestion and improve air quality. We do this several ways. First, we reach out to employers, schools, civic groups, and individuals, and we educate them on available transportation alternatives. And of course, we do this by promoting already available services like mass transit and VIA and van pools and B-cycle. And, of course, ride-sharing, which I'll talk a little bit more about. And we also promote telecommuting and walking and other pedestrian options. So we do everything we can to promote those alternatives. So secondly, we do operate this New Ride program. which is an online free carpool matching service for participants. It's got redeemable rewards for trips not taken. We also operate what is called the CARE program, which is the Certified Ride Home in an Emergency program. We found that one of the obstacles for people taking carpools or sharing rides is that they are fearful that they may have an emergency that they need to get to, or a child forgets a lunch, or there's a special doctor's appointment that needs to happen. Well, the CARE program offers up to a $50 reimbursement four times a year for people that regularly log on and are registered users of the New Ride program. So we try and eliminate some of those obstacles. And, of course, anybody could take a ride as necessary via taxi or an Uber or Lyft or any other way if they have a need for a ride or the carpool suddenly is not available. The other thing I want to mention briefly is that in 2018, we're going to be launching a new website. It'll be called Rides Central, and the goal of it will be to be a one-stop clearinghouse of alternative transportation options for people within the region. The Commute Solutions program is available in the immediate A-County region around Bexar County. And, of course, then our air quality, we watch everything in our entire 13-county region at the same time. So in a nutshell, that's what we do at the Alamo Area Council of Governments, and I'm happy to answer any of the questions that may come up regarding it.
So you said in 2018, Ride Central goes online. When about?
We're hoping that it'll be early spring.
Okay. And so
we have a full media campaign that is scheduled to launch this website.
And so New Ride, how does that work? What do I do when I – and you said there's some sort of incentives, coupons and things when people use that. How does that work?
Absolutely. So New Ride, you can get to New Ride at www.newride.com. It's a free service. Anybody can use it. You log in, and basically it matches your interest for rides with others trying to do the same thing. So it doesn't have to be on a regular basis. It could be on a periodic basis. But if you're a college student and you go to one of our local universities regularly, you can log in and say, here's what I'd like to do on a daily basis. If there's others out there that have that same need, let's share a ride. And they get to connect that way. And it's kind of on their own. It's very informal. But any ride that you log in, because once you're a registered user, it's on a volunteer basis, of course, you get in and you say, hey, today I took a ride that was this far. That meant my vehicle was not on the road. And for every one of those miles traveled, you accumulate points. And we have almost 200 local retailers that have offered rewards and incentives for folks that log in miles and accumulate points under the program. So you can get anything from a free bottomless popcorn at the Alamo Draft House, or you could get in a free meal over at Firewalk, among many of the options that you have available in the incentive program.
When you have a carpool and you have a person driving, how do y'all figure out, I mean, if the car guy is driving his vehicle, he's still driving his car and paying for gas and doing everything else and undergoing risk for using his vehicle on the roads, how is he compensated?
So this is done on a voluntary basis, and both people that are sharing, and they also, they swap. The idea isn't that one person is always driving. The idea is that they are sharing the driving responsibilities together. So it would be just like you and a neighbor, sharing a ride to a grocery store or going to an event downtown. All of those rides count, and it's a mutually agreed upon service. So this time I drive, next time you drive, we both get to claim those miles and accumulate points and get some prizes as a result.
All right, Roger Adigaga, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all your brought to the table this afternoon. It's great hearing from you.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me get a caller on the air. We got some callers backed up. This is Alan. Alan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Alan. Okay, let's go to John.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. Go ahead.
Awesome, awesome. Well, listen, I've been listening in with great anticipation. It's actually, my name is Sean. I can see how John can be confused with that, but it's
okay.
Sean. And I'm actually employed by Enterprise Rideshare. I'm the account executive for them. And, I was listening with great enthusiasm because we have been having a successful vanpool program with the Via Metropolitan Transit System for quite a while. And over 12 years, and it's been going really, really well. kind of as a citywide initiative, we've been working specifically with the private sector to see about what we can do to incentivize people to stop driving their vehicles and vanpool with us. And we've had a lot of success with a growing vanpool program. It's fairly robust. And the great part about it is that Via Metropolitan actually does some partial subsidy. So any vanpool that starts in San Antonio and or ends in San Antonio or the surrounding areas does get some subsidy assistance. And when you look at it from a vantage point of every vanpool, you know, takes 7 or 8 cars off the road, and then we have a customized insurance program, a customized maintenance program, basically all the bills that you would assume on your own when you drive your car, you no longer have to use your insurance. You no longer have to use, you know, all the costs associated with just being a single driver. Enterprise takes care of that. And so since we're the single van provider for the Via Metropolitan system, this has been something that we've been watching for quite a while, especially with the congestion and the emissions becoming a huge issue in San Antonio.
And how does someone get involved with your outfit? Do you supply the driver and everything, or just the van?
Great, that's a good question. So let me give you the short version. Essentially, what we do is I go to various private employers, since we do have a lot of federal business with the military already, and they've had a contract with us for a while. My job is simply to go to the bigger companies that are private-wise and do a map analysis, find out what the interests are, and what we can do to help alleviate parking, turnover, or perhaps increase people's ability to get a higher top-tier employer by providing a vanpool service. And, you know, we give them the information. We do a map analysis. We get these people in a room. I do a presentation. And there's a natural synergy that happens when people start to begin to see the cost savings associated, you know, with vanpooling. And it's been great. You know, I'm always looking for a platform to be able to do that.
Sean, thank you for calling in. Appreciate your input. So Bexar County Commissioner Kevin Wolf, your reaction?
You know, that's what I was saying when we were off the air, that we have to start figuring out how to communicate in whatever audiences we're talking to in their language. So one of the things you just heard from the last gentleman on the phone was how he reaches out to businesses, and he's talking to those businesses in their language, how it's going to save them money, how their employees are going to get to work on time more than they are today by driving by themselves. It's looking at what our particular audience is, especially for those of us in the public sector that are responsible for building these systems, you know, and appealing to them that what it is that from their standpoint. If you are a staunch environmentalist and you want to stand up for making sure air quality, well, then we need to talk to you in that language. If you're a business and we want you to create programs like this, well, we need to talk to you in regards to your bottom line and how this is going to improve things. So, you know, I'm happy to hear that there are private companies out there that are working together, actually, in order to figure out some of these things, again, from their language.
And Richard Pettis at the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, I mean, this is a business solution for a public problem, but it's also a private problem, too, if you're running the business and all your employees aren't there because they're stuck in traffic.
Right. Now, it's a fantastic solution to an enormous problem, but there are other solutions, and we talked about a couple, the carpooling. You know, there's a system in the Washington, D.C. area called slugging that's been around for decades, and it has components of a lot of the things that we talked about. So it's someone that wants to use the HOV lane in the D.C. area. It's you have to have 3 folks. You show up to various areas, and you can pick up people, and they're going to where you're going. And the benefit is, of course, the driver then gets to go faster because he or she is going through the HOV. And the 2 people that join you, and maybe even 3, are getting to where they need to go. And they get there quickly or faster and for free. So there are ways to make these things work. We just need to come together and again, put all these things out so that there can be a menu of opportunities for solutions.
All right. We're going to talk more about carpooling, whether or not we can make it a trendy, popular thing to be doing in San Antonio in the near future. We know that it's something people are going to have to think about as our roads get more and more congested. We invite you to call in to our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. One vehicle, one person on the commute. That's what we have now in San Antonio for five out of six cars, or four out of five cars. Can that change? We heard from Twitter, Isaac tweeted in, going from Crossroads to Rackspace used to take me about an hour and 20 minutes on the Via Express versus a 15 to 20 minute drive. The Wi-Fi was nice to catch up on email, but it was too deep of a time commitment. So, you know, we've got to figure out that's people's time is their most important, most valuable commodity. So how are you going to weigh that out there, Anna Sandoval?
Sure. So the caller brings up a really good point. We talked about this briefly during the break, is that when you take the bus, depending where you live and what your commute is, you're going to sink a little bit more time. And that's generally going to be the case. If we had a really strong transportation system where we decide, you know, this is really the corridors where we're going to invest in, then when people are choosing where to live, they can decide based on that, and maybe the commute that was an hour and 15 minutes becomes, you know, a 30-minute or a 35-minute commute, and then people can weigh that. Now, that's a little bit out in the future. We know that Via and the city are working together on this corridors plan. In the interim, what can we do? And that's where really carpooling comes in, is you work Rackspace. They do run shuttles from Austin, I believe, to San Antonio to bring their workers in. What are they doing in San Antonio, perhaps, to promote carpooling among their own employees? Again, during the break, we were just talking about the really critical role an employer can have in leading carpooling in their own business. So, for instance, how many of us are involved in a United Way campaign at our offices?
Yep.
Why, and who champions it? Yep. There's someone dedicated to doing that, right? You get emails about it. You get someone asking you about it. I'll give you an experience that I had. Is I worked at one company where I was offered commute benefits, but it was up to me to find out where I had to go find them, how, you know, what operations were available out there. Was I going to call Enterprise? Was I going to do this? That didn't work. I worked at another agency where they sat me down during my orientation and said, these are your commute benefits. Where do you live? Let me tell you where the bus route is. And let me tell you, there are these carpools operating right now with some of your coworkers. And if you take it, you get to park in our garage for free, as opposed to paying for parking somewhere else. And there are benefits to, we were just talking about this as well, there are benefits to the employer for doing this. A, you know, reliability of their folks showing up, but also if you're building a new facility, you're investing maybe $10,000 per parking space, $30,000, depending what the real estate is. If you're trying to go downtown where, you know, it's a great place to be if you work, how much are you going to spend per parking place, whether you rent it or whether you build it? That's money you can invest on something else. And the truth is, we have the infrastructure to move people in terms of carpooling and the bus. So we need to look at those options.
All right, here's a caller, and this is Jim. Jim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I would like to take, and I realize I'm walking into the lion's den here. In fact, I know Kevin Wolf's on there, and I'm not going to identify myself. I hope he cannot identify me, but I've done several business deals, even with his dad. And I want to tell you, there, what you're saying, and while I love your incentive for the goals you've got, financially, it costs 2 to 3 times as much to do what you're saying as the people that provide their own transportation and cars. The truth is no place in America that actually provides the financial value. These things about these free and these supplements, they're not free. Somebody's paying for that. And, you know, the other thing is people don't realize there are fixed costs involved here. I have, and I'm going to tell you, give you an example. Perhaps it hasn't been considered. We talk about smaller cars in America and electric cars. I understand the emissions goal. On the other hand, we're losing an intangible of the integrity and dignity of owning your own destination and your own car and freedom. But here's the catch. If you have fixed costs and you sell less gallons of gas, prices must rise to still meet those fixed costs. I'm telling you that I know this for sure. There's not a businessman in America that actually has to make business and make money to support people that knows what they're talking about is cheaper. It is not. It costs 2 to 3 times. There's not a public transportation place in America that's self-serving. It has to be supplemented by taxpayers.
Okay, so Jim, give me Jim just one more. I want him to capsulize what you're trying to get across in one quick sentence. You're saying that this is just not feasible, or what?
I'm saying it's feasible, but you must recognize the cost is 2 to 3 times what we're talking about, and everybody using their own free cars.
All right, Jim, thank you for that. So let's go, we're talking costs, so let's go to our Chamber of Commerce guy, Richard Pettis.
Well, David, what I would say is there is indeed a cost. There's no doubt about it. However, when you're trying to attract talent, you want to provide benefits. And so if that employee is interested in commuting or is interested in a way of life that doesn't impact the environment, let's say as much as riding in a car that they own, that they drive every single day, it's an opportunity for an employer to say, hey, we're a different place to come and work. And so in my mind, CEOs are thinking about this every single day. They're weighing it against, of course, the cost.
Amazon's thinking about it when they're looking for their H2Q.
That's right. That's right. That was one of the requirements. But again, as a business owner, you need to weigh those factors. And in this competitive environment that we live in, where an individual can choose to move anywhere in the country that they want, if they're talented and they have the skills that people are looking for, then they're a viable commodity, if you will. And so we need to be smart as business owners to be able to attract them. And one way to do it is providing these types of incentives that that are exciting.
And so, and Bexar County Commissioner Kevin Wolf, the great thing about freeways is that they're free, right?
Whoever came up with that term was lying. You know, I do want to...
I mean, so that's a cost.
Yeah, oh, it is.
We're
it's
all
paying,
and to, a mile of road is what?
Oh, if it's just a flat mile road and you don't have to do a bridge or anything, you're looking at probably about $1 million.
Okay, so every person that we don't have to put on the highway, we don't have to build a $1 million mile, and how many miles are those people going to need? So there's money there that we don't spend if we can get them off the roads, right?
There is. There's a balance in there. But I do want to applaud Jim, because he's not wrong. When you look at mass transportation across the United States, across the world, you have to subsidize it at about 70%. You're never going to make money off of mass transportation itself. However, you also have to look at it from many different perspectives. Let's take what Anna said earlier. She looked at a job in Austin that might have been good for her career, but couldn't do it because of transportation. What if today we had a dedicated BRT lane between San Antonio and Austin, where you could get on it and pay $10 to go from San Antonio to Austin in an hour, not 3 hours, because it's a dedicated lane. Now, all of a sudden, that starts to make a little more sense. And guess what? It's in our plan today. It's called a toll road today. We plan on doing a toll road between Austin and San Antonio. But could we, instead of doing a toll, do a dedicated BRT lane, which almost gets you exactly what you'd get out of rail? So then when you take those costs into effect and say, tell you what, Jim, if you want to hire people from Austin, now you can. And I know how much you spend on recruiting, because I used to be a recruiter and I used to staff huge companies, and I know how much it costs. That's why Rackspace today sends vans to Austin to bring employees here, because it costs them less to do that than it costs them to recruit employees to move here.
All right. So Anna Sandoval.
Oh, man, the commissioner is fired up. absolutely, it is not free. That's why we call it public transportation. It's available to the public, and we have to subsidize it.
But public transportation also includes highways, yes, freeways. You know, that's public transportation as well. Mm-hmm. And who's you know, if we're not charging tolls on those things are losing money. How come we don't put that all in the same hat?
I think you bring up a really good point. We have spent billions and billions of dollars building the so-called freeways, as you pointed out, freeways that we have now. And we say we've invested in transportation, but really we've only invested in one type of transportation, and that's this one car, one vehicle mindset. We were just talking before the show, you know, we did a great job, the San Antonio Mobility Coalition, advocating for more transportation dollars for the area. Prop 1 and Prop 7 passed with an overwhelming majority. That money is dedicated to transportation, but it's all going to go to highway building. And we haven't left any money aside for these other options.
I've been reading about no-cost mass transit, where now you get on the VIA, you pay $1.35, and some places they're saying we're not going to charge anyone anything, and they've seen explosive use of mass transit. And so you're saying, what? Why are they riding for free? Well, you know, they're not driving a car. Mm-hmm. And you may say that cost is not the deciding factor, but I think it is.
Cost, financial cost, the transactional cost is definitely one deciding factor. We have a number of barriers for people to get people on transit. When I first started working at VIA, my boss gave me an article and he said, read this. And it describes all the barriers that people face when riding transit. Having exact change is definitely one of them. But right. Now we have, VIA has a payment system where you can use your phone.
So as we run out of time here, timeline for the working group, what are the goals? When do we know that we're getting people out of their cars and doing and carpooling?
The working group will be convening for the first time at the end of this month. They will meet for a few months and come back and give a report to a council transportation committee within 6 months with recommendations on going forward.
Do you believe this line that we love our vehicles so much there's no way you're going to get me to give it up?
I think for some people that's the case, but once you start seeing all the other benefits, that's not going to be the case for everybody. And we definitely have some room to make progress here.
Ana Sandoval, San Antonio City Council representative for District 7, also with us is Bexar County Commissioner Kevin Wolf, board chair of the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, and with us, Richard Perez, president and CEO of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.